The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer's already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes I wonder what kind of world this is that we live in. I hope all of you had a good Thanksgiving holiday, maybe surrounded by family or friends and had good food. I know I had a good holiday. My family came here to Yorktown this time and I hosted and we had wonderful food and got to visit with people that I hadn't seen for a while and catch up with stories and laughed a little bit, so it was a good day. It can be good, but then at a lot of other times, there's always something going on that makes us worried or makes us anxious. Maybe it's stress about money. You're worried about your financial situation that you are in. Or maybe you worry about somebody else, a good friend or a relative, someone close to you is not doing well. Or maybe it's a family member who seems to be headed towards the wrong direction and you're worried about them. You're anxious that something's going to happen to them. Or maybe you had a fight with somebody that you loved and they just don't feel right because you don't have that connectedness anymore. And it needs to be restored. People go through divorce. People have bad news about their own health. People suffer. And then we die. A lot in this world to be anxious about, to worry about. And it always has the stress and the anxieties about us. And so we come to church. We come to worship to hear good news, to hear that to hear some consolation, to take our minds off of these dreadful things that are happening within our lives, to cause so much anxiety and worry. And then we read a text like this. "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." It doesn't seem to give us a whole lot of comfort. And anxiety will tear us apart if we don't do something about it. And people have tried to deal with anxiety and stress in so many different ways. Some people turn to alcohol or to misuse of drugs. Other people lash out at what either causes them to be so upset, or they lash out at anybody and everything. Other people just try to hide. They go find a place. Maybe they can escape from all of it. Maybe they can just leave and leave all the troubles behind. Or other people try to hide or simply just deny that anything else is going on. There's thousands of self-help books out there to try to fix yourself or fix the world or fix whatever needs fixing to relieve that anxiety. Other people just get angry at God and they quit. Other people go to different religions. Some people are turned to even things like superstition. There was a superstitious bus driver. He drove a tour bus. And so he was driving a bus full of tourists down a scenic road, pointing out the sights to see on that trip, when all of a sudden, a black cat went streaking across the highway in front of his bus. And that upset the bus driver. That's supposed to be bad luck. He's superstitious, and it upset him. And so he told everybody on the bus, "All right, everybody turn to your left and spit over your left shoulder, because that will keep us from having bad luck." And so in the midst of the confusion of everybody trying to spit and not hit somebody else, and other people being upset because they have been hit, in all that confusion, the bus driver lost control of the bus, and it flipped onto its side. Well, nobody was seriously hurt, but they were banged up and bruised a bit, and the bus driver kind of crawled out from where he was, untangled himself, and stood up and said angrily, "Okay, who didn't spit?" We get so anxious, we get worked up, and the things that we try to do just don't cover that. And here, you know, in our gospel lesson too, it just seems to ratchet that up, that whole anxiety, that whole issue about the world coming apart and wars and the sun and signs and the sun and the moon and the sea roaring and all these things going on to instill fear into us. But actually, there's good news here. If you read on just a little further then in verse 28, he says, "Now when these things begin to take place, stand up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." The Son of Man is coming back. The Son of Man is coming back to redeem us, to save us, to pull us out of this mess. Here in this gospel lesson is that good news, that Christ is coming again. And he will pull us out of all these things that cause us anxiety, all these things that cause us worry, all these things that cause us pain and fear. Christ is coming back. And we don't need to fear all these things. We don't need to worry about everything that's going on. I like to kind of think of it this way. There are people stranded on a deserted island. You're one of those people. Some of those people you know, you knew before you got deserted. Other people you don't know. There's people on that island that are very helpful. They try to organize groups to go find food, try to put shelter together. And then there's other people on that island that don't want to cooperate, that they want to boss everybody else around. Or there's other people on the island who just simply want to hoard all of the resources. They want to take away from other people. And people are stressed out. Where are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? Where are we going to sleep? How are we going to live on this island? Will anybody come to rescue us? There's anxiety, but at the same time, people start to work together. Some of those people you never knew before, you find out they're wonderful people. They're helpful people. They have good ideas. They're willing to work. And then you also learn that even some of those that you knew before, you see finally their inner nature and they don't want to do anything. Or that some people who are just so full of fear, they're paralyzed of what's going to happen. They don't know what the future holds. And so some people then write SOS in the beach sand, or they light fires with lots of smoke so that maybe it'll attract a ship or an airplane. But one day an airplane does fly over. And then it circles around and it comes lower. And it sees the people waving their arms out there on the beach and hollering. And they see the big SOS and they see the smoky fires. And they circle around once again And they drop a message that says, "We see you. We've been looking for you. You have been found. We are going to be sending a ship to rescue you because there's no room on the plane and that there's no room for the plane to land." So what's changed? What's changed for the people on that island? It's still the same people there. It's still the same amount of food. It's still the same resources for shelter. The weather is the same. What has changed? It's that they have heard that they will be rescued. That this is just simply temporary. This island that they're deserted on is just simply temporary. They will be rescued. Help is on the way. They don't know when that help's going to come. It may come in just a few hours. They look and they don't see a ship on the horizon. But they know it takes time to locate and make coordinations and all those kind of things. It may come in a few hours. It may come in a few days. It may come in a week or so. But help is coming. Help is coming. And I look at that of where we sit in our lives today. Yes, we have wonderful times where we're able to get together with family and friends, or we have wonderful surprises. We meet new people, and we find out what pleasant people they are. But then there's also those other people that just grate on us, or that cause trouble, or the disasters in this world, or health issues that crop up, or the disagreements. All these things that cause us worry and anxiety still exist for us, even as Christians. They still exist for us. But what's different? What's different for Christians? With Christians, we have gotten that message. Help is on its way. Christ is coming. He will come and he will redeem us. He will come and rescue us. He will come and save us. This where we live is only temporary. The best life is still yet to come. And we are also urged then to watch and to wait for that time, to prepare for that time when Christ is coming. Here in verse 34 it says, "Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life." Christ will come again. Christ will be here. Christ is coming as our Redeemer. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.